microphones are hot, and we are back. Welcome back into Beyond Ringside, live from the Magic City Online Studios in Birmingham, Alabama. Yours truly, Fast Eddie Lane.
And Mr. MCO Chase Pearson. What's happening, y'all?
Yeah.
Wicked. Smack him, Mabo. Mabo, come on in.
I am no longer La Flama Blanca. I am Ombre Negro.
You're just flipping back and forth both ways, aren't you?
Let's not misconstrue that.
There you go. It's what it sounded like to me. Chase, if you do the honors, ladies and gentlemen, live on the line here on Beyond Ringside, he is a professional wrestling legend in every sense of the word. One of the maestros of the heart punch, the maestro of the hurt punch. He is the one, the only, Ox Baker, joining us live on Beyond Ringside. Mr. Baker, how's your day going?
It's a very, very good day today, and I can see your ratings. It must be way, way down. So you call Ox Baker because you want one of the great interviews of all time. And tonight, I am ready to give you one of my great interviews. Me and Don talked about it all day today. Rebecca helped me rehearse, and we're ready on Joanne to either be good or you don't get any shepherd's pie off of me. So I've got to give you a great interview to help your ratings and to get fed.
Well, first off, Mr. Baker, it is an honor to have you on board with us today, Ox. First off, I want to go ahead and jump straight on in. Who told you about our ratings? You found out.
What was your question, sir?
You found out all seven people that were listening right about now. How did you find out about our ratings?
Well, I was checking, you know, and anytime these stations get way down, they try everybody else. They talk to Koloff, they talk to the guy with mumble mouth and all that. But then they finally call Ox Baker, and they know that the people, you know, the people, they want to call in. They want to ask me questions. They want to ask what I'm doing. They want to know about my new cookbook. They want to know about my other book, Life After Wrestling. All they have to do is your station getting good ratings or not, you know?
There you go. Oh, wait, we just went up one. Hey, we got eight people now. First off, let me go ahead and ask. Now, your background not only goes to professional wrestling, but it goes further than that. It goes into amateur wrestling as well as a background in boxing as well, sir.
Oh, yes. I was an amateur Golden Glove champion. I was a state champion in Iowa, the greatest wrestling of all time. And I got into wrestling because I found out a lot of the guys I'd beat up were in there making big money. And I said, well, they can do it. Because they're not half the guy I am, and nobody can talk like Ox. It's just in a poll that Vince McMahon had, he said Ox Baker is the number one talker in wrestling. And the funny part about that, Vince McMahon has never used me. He never wanted Ox. He said Ox is a loudmouth, and people nowadays just don't like loudmouths, you know.
Well, let me go ahead and ask, because you have worked in so many different areas of the United States and across the world. Now, domestically, if there was one area that jumps into your mind as being one of your favorite areas to work all the way from start to finish, what would that area be?
Well, I was out doing a movie out in Hollywood, and they called, Australia called me and said, Ox, we just had our champion break his arm, and he has a whole week with Andre the Giant at the time. He said, we know that you're one of the two guys that Andre got disqualified, and you won a match from Andre the Giant, and that's only happened with two other guys. And I was, would you please come to Australia? So I went there. I was going to do a whole week at the time. I was going to do The Caveman out in Hollywood, and I was there, and Andre, he sold out every night for a whole week. We had two or three riots. And there was no winners, of course. And Andre said, I want to come back and wrestle this guy. So the promoter said, Ox, would you please stay over in Australia? We'll treat you real good. And I said, well, I got this movie to do. He said, well, sorry, we already called him and said, we cannot release you, so someone else has to do The Caveman. I was mad at him, but I spent six beautiful months over in Australia. The people love wrestling so much over there. Every night, every day, they'd pick me up. I had 11 birthdays one year, you know, and I had 14 anniversaries and that, because they were always putting on parties, picking me up, and we ran. And Andre came back, and we sold out for 10 straight days, and we was going to go back, but lo and behold, the promoter up and died after I left. So I never got back to Australia, but one of my great moments was Australia. I wish I could name you all the towns I was in there. But anyway, it was Andre the Giant and Ox Baker, 23 matches. We had 23 sellouts.
Now, you are most noted as being a singles competitor. You've all, every once in a while, someone would say Ox Baker doesn't play well with others, but you've actually had some very notable tag team partners. One that comes to my mind is Killer Karl Krupp.
Well, I tried different partners, but these here partners always wanted so much out of me. Like today, Rebecca had to hold out my hand over my mouth. Waitress, get over here! I want a glass of water! She had to shut me up, you know. And, but the idea, a lot of the guys didn't like loudmouth, but I got Karl Krupp, and he had one rule. If you cheated him, he would leave you. We had a great run with Dick the Bruiser in Indianapolis, Indiana, and lo and behold, Dick the Bruiser cheated him on a payoff. The next day he called me, because he was a Canadian, said, Ox, I'm up in New Brunswick. I had to quit him. I said, we're the tag team champions. He said, just take them belts. I won't tell you what he wanted me to do with the belts. What? Take them belts and shoot them. And I never got a chance with Karl Krupp again. But with that attitude, I wouldn't have liked it. Because a lot of times, the promoters cheated Ox Baker. The guy said, why do you work for these guys? I said, well, I never met anybody in wrestling. 40 years, I never met anybody that I didn't like. They said, but Ox, a lot of them cheated. You guys ratted on you. They did that. A couple of them took your colored girlfriends away from you. I said, I never said I got down to their level. I liked them because I love wrestling. Even in the 60s, where we was getting $30 a night. For 2 years, I got $30 a night. That's all I was making in a day. But I loved it. I liked the roar of the crowd. And the best thing I do when a can would bounce off my head, because I'd say to the promoter, boy, I have a lump there. Said, oh, God, it's bad. You know, one guy broke a chair over my head, 23 cents. I must have got him worked up. He said, you sure did. He said, we never seen it. I said, well, I don't like it. Because if I work him up, you know, in the 60s, they was paying $1.15 to get it. If I ain't got their money's worth, I was happy. Sew my head up. I'll wrestle again tomorrow night. And I told Ernie Ladd one time, you know, I just got 6 stitches in my head. Slap me up the head. Knock them stitches out. I wanted the fans to get their money. Nowadays, I don't believe one of the things they don't do, they do not get the fans their money's worth. They entertain them just like we did, but they didn't get their money's worth. Because I know, over the years, I got 4 doors knocked down. People wanting to beat me up for knocking out their big hero. They don't do that anymore. They applaud them. Nobody ever applauded me. And I remember my great friend Killer Kowalski, one night he slapped me up the side of the head and said, what was that for? He said, big mouth, you made a couple of them people laugh. They paid $1.25. They didn't come here to laugh. They just see, they come here to see wrestling. So if you hear it again, I'm going to slap you again. He said, do you like that or not? I said, no, Mr. Kowalski, you're right, you know. Not that I was scared of him, but he was an older man. I couldn't hit anybody older than I was. Is there any questions for me?
Yes, sir. Actually, we've got a few. I want to bring in one of my tag team partners. He is called the Wicked Nemesis. Wick, come on in.
Yes, sir, Mr. Breaker. How does it feel to be known by somebody?
Mr. Wicked, don't stutter. I mean, I know you're in the presence of a great talker, but I want you to talk, you know, like Don, a lot of time when he's on the road with me, I said, Don, would you please speed up? He said, just sit there and keep your mouth shut. I'm driving, you know. But if you got a question, Mr. Wicked, is it Wicked or Wicker?
Wicked.
Wicked, yeah. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. How does it feel to be known more for not only being a badass wrestler, but also for your stint in Escape from New York, where you took on Snake
Plissken?
Well,
what happened was, I actually lost that movie. You got to hear this story. One of my great friends of all time, Bruiser Brody, got that part. And I was sitting there in North Carolina, and John Carpenter said, hey, Ox, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm about ready to go on TV. He said, I need you in St. Louis. I got a $2,000 bill. You come here. I said, yeah, but Bruiser Brody got that part. Well, he said he lipped off to somebody in Puerto Rico last night, and he got stabbed and killed. I said, he got stabbed and killed, and you called me for that shit. He said, Ox, this is show business. Show business is going on. I said, well, I won't watch that movie for 10 years if I do it. So we went there, and one of the great cult movies of all time. A lot of people ask me a lot of questions. What do I think of Kurt Russell? What do I think of Ernest Borgnine? A lot of questions with me. Donald Pleasant. I enjoyed myself. But I hated to get it because of my friend Bruiser Brody. What a great tough guy. Toughest guy of all times in wrestling. But I got the part because Bruiser Brody got stabbed.
Okay. Now, if I may. Now, in the days where the territories reigned supreme over the superpower corporation, so to speak, of course, you had the National Wrestling Alliance that was a superpower for the most part, but it was based on the territory system. Now, three areas that pop into my mind, if I may, include the states of Texas, Florida, and Georgia, and especially Florida, because I know that you had a great run of the Sunshine State, especially working with Eddie Graham.
Down there, they had this big fat guy called an American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And every night he'd get on there and yak, that he was Mr. the American Dream, he called himself. Well, I got on there and I said, you know, I came all the way from Dallas, Texas, because you might be the Dream, Dusty, but I'm Mr. Reality. I'm going to knock you down. I can do two things for you. I can give you a bus ticket so you can get your big body on there with your 6 and 7 bags and get out of town, or you can get in there and get a real beating, because I like to beat people up. I used to say, anybody can kick somebody standing up, but it takes a great man like Ox Baker to win on their hands and then kick them in the face. And you know, we had 88 matches, me and Dusty Rhodes, sold out every night. I come up to Eddie Graham. He said, Ox, you're doing so great here. He said, God, you're doing so great for my Florida's. I never had any. I said, Eddie Graham, just think if I won one match. 88 disqualification. Dusty Rhodes never got his hand raised with me. He was always mad about that there. I think he even burnt my car up one night. Somebody did. I could have been a fan, but I love Florida. I had a big sign. Florida belongs, Ox Baker. Get rid of the American Dream. But you know, after I left there, they never called me to come back. I never know why, but I went back to Texas, me and Fritz Von Erich and his sons. Well, that's another story. Okay, Mr. Wicked, what are you going to ask me?
Come on in, Wick.
Yeah, I just want to know, how does it feel to be like such a cult figure? Not only, you were a badass before the movie, but after the movie, somebody my age, I'm 31, that's what we know you for. We didn't get to watch a lot of your matches, but to know you
as... You missed out, you know. The only person that lifts off to me now is this Joanne. She makes this great shepherd's pie, I guess, or is it stew or something she made. And she said, Ox, if you don't do a great interview tonight, there's no stew for you. You got to pay your own way to the show. And you can't pick popcorn off the floor. You got to buy it at the counter there. Because a lot of people, I knock the bag out of their hand and I get the popcorn. I love that free popcorn, you know.
I want to bring in another one of our partners, Mr. MCO Chase Pearson. Chase, come on in.
Mr. Ox, how are you doing, sir?
How you doing? Are you enjoying this interview or not?
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
Everybody's enjoyed my interview for years, and they've always said, Ox Baker, the loudmouth, is number one. But I want to tell you something right now. People, do you have a question, did you?
Yes, sir. I've got one for my chat room on Ustream, and courtesy of Tag, he wants to know, who was your stiffest opponent to work with?
Well, I want to tell you, a lot of people say, you know, after you get out of sports, you can't do anymore. But what I did, I wrote a cookbook. I cooked for the wrestlers over the years. It's called Ox Baker, The Fallen Warriors. And I just started number two, Fallen Warriors number two, or The Grill We Must, 70 stories. And again, Joanne and Don are on me. Rebecca said, get on that typewriter to write that story. But I'm writing another. There's life after wrestling. You don't have to give up just because you're through with wrestling. You know, when you got to hang your tights up, a lot of people get depressed. But I don't, because I write. Because, you know, over the years, and the fans have always loved... Oh, my toughest opponent, you asked. Well, I got to tell you, I was 3 years, there was a tough guy up there. They said, you know what he does, Ox, when he trains? He takes a dog in each hand, gets in a snowdrift, and he runs until the dogs get tired. I said, who is that? They said, the Mongolian Stopper. And I got in there with the Mongolian Stopper, and I'm telling you what, he knocked me down so many times, slipped me against the wall. Stu Hart, who'd stretched me a few times down in his dungeon. That's another story we got to get to when we get to Stu Hart's dungeon. But he's made me scream in the dungeon. But that here Mongolian Stopper, night after night after night, he would kick and shove. He slapped me against the wall. He almost beat me a couple times, in fact. But the Mongolian Stomper out of Calgary, Alberta, Canada, the home. You ever heard of Stu Hart?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, he took me down in his dungeon. He said, I want to show you this hold. And he'd make me scream. I would yell and yell. He'd come on. You could scream louder than that. His wife would come down after a half hour and say, someone's on the phone with you, Stu. And he'd say, Ox, wait for me. I'll be back in 10 minutes. As he left the door, I grabbed my clothes. They picked me up twice running in the snow. I didn't have half my clothes on. I said, please, lock me up. I don't care. But don't send me back to that dungeon. I don't want to do any more screaming. I threw up four times. Don't send me back to Stu Hart. But I went back the next day and said, Stu, I don't think you can beat me again. And then I screamed for another half hour. But I enjoy every bit of it because I had learned a couple of holds. A lot of people think wrestling is this and that. But I know a couple of them holds myself. How are we doing on this interview, okay?
Wonderfully well, sir. Actually,
we're doing great. Don't say okay. We're doing great.
I never said okay. Okay.
I mean, I'm going to make sure that Joanne makes me that shepherd pie or that stew, whatever she makes me, you know.
Hey, send us some shepherd's pie.
And even Don, who won't give me a free cup of coffee, he makes me a cup of coffee and charges me a quarter for it. He says, Ox, you know, this coffee I don't get for free, you know. So, but Don and Joanne, oh, yeah. Ask me a question for playing out loud. I want to interview here.
Wicked Nemesis, come on back in.
Yeah, Mr. Baker, how do you feel about the guys in the business today? Do you feel like they're not getting trained properly? Maybe they don't have the love for the business? There is a complete difference, as you know. I mean, being in the business for so long, I've only been in the business 4 years.
Well, you see, I was actually jealous of them for the longest time because a lot of them are getting paid real, real big money. And I even got a call the other day from Randy Savage, the Macho Man. He said, Ox, I need you to manage me in the WWE if Vince would take you back. I called Vince, and Vince said, Ox, you're still a loudmouth, you know. So, Vince, when you say that you had the best in your territory for all these years, until you get Ox Baker there, until you hear Ox Baker on the TV in the WWE, they got to be a second-rate outfit. But I want to tell you, I went to a few matches. Me and my friend of mine, you know, me and Don snuck in the back. No, we paid in the back. I don't know what we did. We got in the back door. People still packed. Because it's a different kind of training. When they have seven women in the ring in a bed, the first last one gets thrown out, you know. But I don't believe that the people get entertained nowadays the way we entertain. Yes, we entertain them. But when they go home and say, boy, I got my dollar and a half. Now it's $100 to go to their matches. And Vince won't let the loudmouth Ox Baker. Randy Savage, I'll go back with you, Vince. I'll do anything you want to. Just take that Ox Baker. And I even told Vince, let's start a contest. You know, a lot of people over the years said that, he said it was a better talker than me. Well, what was his name, Rebecca? She's trying to think of herself.
Jerry the King?
Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan don't know one hole. That's a knee across, across
step into a slam jam.
But I'm trying to think, who's the greatest talker in wrestling today?
Wicked Nemesis.
Eddie Lane.
Mr. Who? MCO Chase Pearson.
I think
who's that?
We're the best talkers in the business.
I'm trying to think of the guy. You know, he had the Piper Smith. A lot of people said that Piper. Was it Roddy Piper?
Yep.
Roddy.
Yes, sir.
Roddy Piper is a better talker. But you know what it was? Anybody can talk if you give them a script. Nobody wrote anything down. Of course, Joanne and Don went over the thing with me, and Rebecca, made me put the TV off, wouldn't even let me watch Weeds Today, you know, because she wanted me to get this here interview down pat. So I'm trying to do a good job, but I haven't got any good. Has any fans called in and asked any questions? Could I ask any question, answer any question about wrestling? Because I want the fans to know it and love it like I do. 4 years I've been in there. And the only reason I had to quit, the knees got so bad and I couldn't give out that 170%, so I had to give it up. But I don't watch it anymore, by the way, but guys tell me about it, you know. Mike Coombs calls me up there and said, Ox, you can come to this match and that match, you know. But no, I can't wrestle anymore. But I do manage. I became a manager. And also, four guys that I manage and talk. I didn't tell you about my wrestling school, did I? You didn't ask about the wrestling school.
Actually, that was
I got a wrestling school. The Atom Bomb trained with me. The Undertaker trained with me. Papa Pump trained with me. Four or five guys I sent to made them all millionaires. They said, Ox, I wish you could become my manager, but Vince don't want you. I said, okay, well, take these other guys. Take the second raters, but when you talk about the greatest talker, Roddy Piper. What do you think of Roddy Piper as a talker?
Now, as a talker, Piper, great on the microphone. He's one people who I can, who is of the ilk that could talk people into the chairs.
Are you trying to say he's better than I am?
I never said that.
Oh, come on, you're hitting around there.
No, I said one.
Are we on the same level?
I said one of the better talkers. I didn't say he was in your class, sir. Chase Pearson, come on back in.
Ox, I think you need to come and beat down Eddie. Just give him a slap.
You know, Joanne makes me buy my own popcorn now. She don't want me picking it off the floor. Buy it out front. Put some butter on there. We go to the movies together. She won't sit in the same seat with me because she always gets set because you get so loud. You're always clapping your hands and yelling. And some of these movies nowadays are lousy. Oh, my. I wish they could. But you got another question for me?
Yes, we do, matter of fact. This one's sent in through our chat room. Is there a tip that you can give to a referee to help the wrestlers in the indie shows?
You know what I hate nowadays? For 40 years, like I said, I never hit a fan, never pushed a fan. I never touched a referee. I hate it today. No referee. It should be like, you know, there was a guy I just thought of in the Grand Wizard. He only managed two guys in his whole career. The real Sheik, and he managed Ox Baker. The Grand Wizard said, I have a rule. Anybody touches me or the referee, they're automatic. The matches when they're pushing and shoving. You see the matches, the football players, they don't push the referee.
Nope.
You know, this other game, hit that ball over the fence. Oh, tennis, yeah. I hate tennis. I'd like to hit someone with a racket, but you can't even talk loud. They throw you out, you know. I mean, the great woman, Williams, she got thrown out because she cussed the referee out, right? No, but I never touched that referee. I made them part of the matches. And I tell them, if I even look like I'm going to hit you, disqualify me. Find me $5, whatever you have to do, because the referee is part of them matches, too. You can't do any match without the referee. And I get so tired of the fans. You know, some lousy fans out there, too. I like them all. I love them all, you know. I've chewed snuff with them, blah, blah, blah. But they love to say the referee is blind, you know. But, no, the referees, they can't be touched. They can't be shoved. But they do that all the time. That's sickening to me.
Do me a favor. Mark Bowman, come on in. You had a question for Ox Baker.
Yes, I was wondering if there would be a shepherd's pie recipe in your cookbook.
Well, the idea is, I'm glad you said that, because Joanne and Rebecca both make great shepherd's pie. I tried to eat some of shepherd's pie the other day, but we had a fan over, you know. Jeff, the other day, I got one little helping. She had a giant bowl. He was so hungry, he ate the rest of that bowl. I said, save some for me! But Joanne's shepherd pie is good, too, but she makes hers just a little bit. So I got a contact. When I tell one of them hers a little better and the other makes some. I go back and forth. But I eat that shepherd pie. That's one of my favorites, you know. And you never asked me about my cookbook.
That was actually...
I won a contest in Connecticut here with my chili, with my meatloaf. They got that on TV. If you ever watch Bruno Sammartino's biography, he talks about my meatloaf, right? I make great meatloaf, but Rebecca won't let me in the kitchen anymore, and Joanne's rule is there's only one cook in the house, you know. So sit in there and drink your coffee with Don and tell him what a great driver is, because that Don, when he ever seen him drive on the road, he gets behind somebody for miles and miles. I said, won't you drive a little faster? He said, I'm only going to get there a minute behind that guy there. Oh, a smart attitude, but he's my driver, and he writes down a lot of things for me, you know, but the idea, yeah, it's a contest between Rebecca and anybody else that makes a good shepherd's pie, you know, and also a lot of people, I'm a diabetic. The only thing I can eat is peanut butter cookies. I can't eat chocolate chip cookies, things like that. Anything with sugar in there. But being a diabetic, you can send. Hello?
Hang on 1 second. We're having phone line difficulties. Ox, hang on the line for just a second.
Not a problem.
Hello?
Ah, there you are, Ox. Okay.
Where the hell did you go? I never got it. I've been asking it. You probably shot me off on the air. Because I never curse. One thing, I'm against that cursing. I even got with Vince McMahon for 2 years. I said, Vince, I know how bad you want me there, but if you allow cursing, I won't come. He said, well, I guess you don't make it. But a year later, he bleeps that cursing. The young kids are watching that wrestling. They don't need that cursing.
No, they don't.
I'm the greatest interviewer of all time. I don't have to curse the interview. A lot of them think they got to do this and that. Blah, 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 blah. I don't like that at all.
I have to ask, we're running short on time. Mr. Baker, can you come back on and join us again sometime?
I wish you would ask me again because you didn't ask me enough questions, you know, and the idea, I don't know, I'm going to call Joanne right away to see if I get that pie, you know. It had to be up to standards, you know. And she said she promised she wouldn't get Jeff. You know, Jeff ate 3/4 of that shepherd pie. I only got one helping the other night. Yes, call me again.
You got it, Mr. Baker, anytime. And matter of fact, we're going to
set up. I know your ratings are going to go out. I can just see them. They're going to mushroom out there. They're going to go up. When can you have me back? In a couple of weeks?
We can have you back on in a couple of weeks. That sounds really good. I'm actually going to.
What about another month?
Okay, we can do that too. Matter of fact, I'll call you tomorrow and we can definitely work on the time. But let me go ahead and say on behalf of all of us.
I smell something on the stove. I don't know what it is. Rebecca said no shepherd pie tonight because Jeff ain't here, you know. So we're talking to you.
It's great.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you first thing tomorrow. I guarantee it. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the legendary Ox Baker. Thank you for coming on Beyond Ringside. Folks, we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to be back on Beyond Ringside about 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
When planning your next party or special event, insist on the best. 4-Range Entertainment is a professional entertainment company providing a full range of services. From professional disc jockeys and MCs to catering and photography, when the details of your special day must be perfect, call us first. Wedding receptions, corporate parties, school functions, birthday celebrations, and more. We also have Birmingham's largest selection of karaoke tracks available. With over 40 years combined experience, 4-Range Entertainment can provide you with the talent and professionalism you need and deserve to make your next event one you'll never forget. For more information on the full range of services we offer, call 533-HITS. That's 533-HITS. Or check us out on our website at fullrangeentertainment.com.